May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated.
Our newest choir member, Jake, goes to Sunday school.
Then let it be so.
And then they can come back for the recession.
So, Ellie and Belle, I think you're now going to Sunday school. Is that correct?
That's what Mary wanted.
Yes.
She doesn't want you guys missing a thing.
Okay. So, thank you for those first two songs. We've been working on that kind of processing all week, and I think they're doing it very well. So we heard this hymn, our gospel hymn by John Newton, Amazing Grace, with those famous words, was blind, but now I see. And of course, that is a metaphorical blindness. He wasn't actually blind. He was simply oblivious. He was metaphorically blind. He wasn't paying attention. He was, well, maybe I'm presuming that you know the story of John Newton. 1800s, he was an English slave ship captain who awoke. And part of that evangelical revival in England in the 1800s, but he awoke and finally began to see that these slaves that he had been treating as mere commodities were actual living human beings. And so his spiritual conversion was, I now see what I was blind to before. And so with that hymn and then the story of blind Bartimaeus, we have these two different types of blindness that we're talking about. We have the physical blindness that is healed by Jesus in this story. But the really, I think, deeper and more persistent theme of biblical literature is the metaphorical blindness. This passage from Jeremiah. Hear then, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, and have ears but do not hear. The issue is us. We are the issue. I have to say, I'm always a little surprised at our liturgical prayers, which so often are petitions to God, trying to get God to do something, as if God's not doing enough or not acting adequately as it is. And that really misses the primary issue, which is always there for any people that are trying to live and take the Bible seriously. It's not that God is not acting. It's that we don't see it. We have eyes, but we don't see. We have ears, but we don't hear. And so, I wish at our Eucharistic celebration, for instance, that the prayer would not be so much over the bread, that God change the bread and the wine, but rather that God change us, that we actually see in the simplest act of nourishment the real sacramental sign of God's self-giving and self-presence, that we are nourished at this profound level, and we miss it most of the time. And so I would love to see our liturgical life include more and more prayers that we be delivered from our blindness and our deafness and or the other image that would be there for biblical people would be hardness of heart, that we're just not very responsive. Now, there's another element of these stories that I think is pretty telling. There are actually two stories of healing blind men that frame a kind of section of teaching material in the Gospel of Mark. And this is the last one. Blind Bartimaeus is the last story we hear before Jesus enters Jerusalem. And throughout this material, the people that he's been having the most trouble with are his own disciples. They and you'll recall what were you arguing about on the road? Who's the greatest? Last week we heard this same question, and believe me, Mark is usually not regarded as the most literarily stylistic of the Gospels, but still, he's a literary person. And so you have one paragraph, and you have James and John saying to Jesus, we want you to do what we ask of you. And then Jesus says, what would you like me to do for you? And they say, we want power and glory. We want to sit at your right hand in your glory, and we want you to make us powerful and significant, which is to say, we are coming to you purely out of our egocentric needs. We want you to make us better and stronger so that we have power over other people. And then in this story of blind Bartimaeus, the exact same question is asked. Jesus, as teacher, says, what do you want me to do for you? And unlike the disciples, who are arguing over power and who's going to be the greatest, Bartimaeus says what I hope would be our answer. Please, my teacher, let me see. Let me see again. And that desire to see is so essential to the spiritual life. And it's, in a sense, not to be undertaken lightly. Because in the same way that John Newton's life was changed when he began to see, our lives too will begin to change if we really want, if we want to see the truth. And as John says, the truth will set you free. The other side of it is every situation we're in, every institution, every social group, our families, our schools, our churches, all of those are imperfect human organizations, and we usually don't see them with very deep clarity. And the way I'd like to talk about the single most crucial aspect of our blindness. The word I want to really say is the metaphor for our blindness is prejudice. We don't understand how consistently prejudicial we are. And let's just start at the simplest level. We are prejudicial toward ourselves. You know, we're all involved in this kind of story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. And over the course of a lifetime, we come to know what we can expect of ourselves, how we've disappointed ourselves over and over again, the things that we typically do. And this story, as T.S. Eliot knew so well, you know, he says, there's a limited value in the knowledge derived from experience because that knowledge imposes a pattern, and the pattern falsifies because you are a new being in every moment. And the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves make us seem more solid than we really are, as if we already know what to expect of ourselves. And then just widen the circle a little bit. Think of how prejudicial we are in our families. Which is to say, in prejudice, by prejudice, what I really mean is you've made up your mind ahead of time. You already know what to expect. You know what to expect of yourself. You know what to expect of your family members that you've been with for 20 years, or 30 years, or 60 years. Which is to say, you're not really living in that present moment of the actual encounter with them. You're not really asking questions. You're not really paying attention because your mind is made up. It's as if you think you know already, and so you don't have to really pay attention. And that, in biblical terms, would be called blind. And the opposite of that is what in biblical terms would be called repentance. Prejudice and repentance are the paired opposites. Prejudice, you think you already know what's going on, and so you don't have to pay attention. Repentance, take a fresh look at the world. Because as Scripture says so often, God is making all things new. Now that's code language for the present moment, where it hasn't happened before. It's happening right now, as it happens. And we're trying to get ourselves into that spiritual, psychological, attentive, receptive space where we're actually in the present moment. We need to remember that we need always to remember in our prayer life, in our liturgical life, in our common life, we are the issue. God is not the issue. God is always active. God is never absent. If God were absent, we would cease to exist. We are really trying to cultivate that sense that we live and move and have our being within God. It's an alternative theology. It's a different way of thinking, to think of being within God rather than God being a being somewhere out there. We are within God. And so the issue is always, how attentive am I to what's actually going on? Or am I lost in some kind of dream or some kind of set of illusions that the Bible calls blindness? If you want to see, you will. Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and the door will be opened. Seek, and you will find. If you want to see, if you want to leave, and how funny that we speak of disillusionment as a bad thing. How funny that is, as if it would be better to be in your illusions. If you want to see, God will grant that to you.